planted that seed, busted his ass for you and me. You're called a harvest moon in Kansas, and they'd understand why God made those flyover states. I bet that mile-long Santa Fe freight train engineer seen it all. Like that flatbed cowboy stacking U.S. steel on a three-day haul. Roads and rails under their feet. Yeah, that sounds like a first-class seat on the plains of Oklahoma, with a windshield sunset in your eyes, like a watercolor painted sky. You think heaven's doors have opened, you'll understand why God made flyover states. Take a ride across the Badlands, feel that freedom on your face, breathe in all that open space, and meet a girl from there.
FM WHSM Hayward, Muskie 101.
Yeah.
Muskie 101.
Lay back and smell the sun, warm up the Georgia pie. Feels so good to be taking it easy. Why would I ever leave? 'Cause I know I got some good friends that live down the street. Got a good looking woman with her arms around me. Here in a small town where it feels like home, I got everything. Living like we'll never die. Come on and stay a while. If you don't believe me, why would I ever leave? 'Cause I know I got some good friends that live down the street. Got a good looking woman with her arms around me. Here in a small town where it feels like home, I got everything I need and nothing. Got a good looking woman with her arms around me. Here in a small town where it feels like home, I got everything I need. Oh, no. And nothing that I don't. Oh, no. Everything I need. Everything I need, nothing that I don't. Everything I need, nothing that I don't. Oh, everything I need, and nothing that I don't.
Sure.
Sometimes it's hard for me to understand, but you're teaching me to be a better man. I don't want to take this life for granted like I used to do. No, no, I want to love somebody.
Enjoy the music. It's great.
The most country music. Streaming 24/7.
Muskie 101.
Gave us that hilltop place to park, gave us them girls that stole her hearts, gave us them books up on the wall, the way we live and the way we talk. Gave us state that senior year, them country stores to buy that beer, a place to go nobody knows, where you take it in and you take it slow, like that river rolls where that green grass grows. I can't explain it, oh, it's something, ain't it? Yeah, we sure painted it up, tore down and mowed two lane roads. We either stole every sign or left them in bullet holes. It wasn't nowhere as bad as we all said that it was. Yeah, looking back at it now, this town's been too good to us. Race held on the weekends, yeah, man, what were we thinking when we said we'd leave it in a cloud of dust? This town's been too good to us. Good people in a back row pew, good dirt that the corn grows through, good water that can wash away our sins, good times and some damn good friends. Whole lot of not too much to do, all the time in the world to do it. Every bit of that down home dirt was heaven on earth and we never knew it. Yeah, we sure painted it up, tore down and mowed two lane roads. We either stole every sign or left them in bullet holes. It wasn't nowhere as bad as we all said that it was. Yeah, looking back, can't explain it, oh, it's something, ain't it? Yeah, we sure painted it up, tore down and mowed two lane roads. We either stole every sign or left them in bullet holes. It wasn't nowhere as bad as we all said that it was. Yeah, looking back at it now, this town's been too good to us. Race held on the weekends, yeah, man, what were we thinking when we said we'd leave? This town's been too good to us. Yeah, too good.
101.1 FM, Muskie 101. Muskie 101.
have a really good variety.
Your country now, online and on the app.
Muskie 101.
Trying not to stare the night that I first met you. You had me mesmerized. And 3 weeks later in the front porch light, taking 45 minutes to kiss goodnight, I hadn't told you yet. But I thought I loved you then. And now you're my whole life. Now you're my whole. About you, girl, like a river meets the sea, stronger than it's ever been. We've come so far since that day, and I thought I loved you then. And I remember taking you back to right where I first met you. You were so surprised. There were people around, but I didn't care. I got down on one knee right there, and once again I thought I loved you then. But now you're my whole life. Now you're my whole world. I just can't believe the way I feel about you, girl. See, stronger than it's ever been. We've come so far since that day, and I thought I loved you. Said that before, and now you're my whole life, now you're my whole world. I just can't believe the way I feel about you, girl. We'll look back someday. I thought I loved you, and I thought I loved you.
Muskie 101.
hesitate and be too shy, way too late. I don't care what they say other lovers do, I just wanna dance with you. I got a feeling that you have a heart like mine, so let it show, let it shine. If we have a chance to make one heart of two, then I just wanna dance with you. I wanna dance with you, twirl you all around the floor. That's what they intended dancing for, and I just wanna dance with you. I wanna dance with you, hold you in my arms once more. That's what they invented dancing for, and I just wanna dance with you. I caught you looking at me when I looked at you. Yes, I did. Ain't that true? You won't get embarrassed by the things I do. I just wanna dance with you. Oh, the boys are playing softly and the girls are too. So am I and so are you. If this was a movie, we'd be right on cue. And I just wanna dance with you. I wanna dance with you, twirl you all around the floor. That's what they intended dancing for, and I just wanna dance with you. I wanna dance with you, hold you in my arms once more. That's what they invented dancing for, and I just wanna dance with you.
Get away, Muskie 101.
Something about a truck in a farmer's field, a no trespass sign, a time to kill. Nobody's gonna get hurt, so what's the big deal? Something about a truck in a farmer's field, and something about beer sitting on ice after a long hard day makes it taste just right. On that drop tailgate on a summer night, there's something about beer sitting on ice, and something about a girl in a red sundress with an ice cold beer pressed against her lips. In that farmer's field will make a boy miss. There's something about a girl in a red sundress, and there's something about a kiss that's gonna lead to more on that drop tailgate back behind the corn. Most natural thing you ever felt before. There's something about a kiss that's gonna lead to more. And there's something about a truck in a field and a girl in a red sundress with an ice cold beer to Something about a creek around 2 a.m. After a few of those beers, you wanna dive on in. You don't need no clothes, so just hang them on a limb. There's something about a creek around 2 a.m. And there's something about a truck in a field and a girl in a red sundress with an ice cold beer to her lips.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same, 'cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Well, I don't give a dang about nothing. I'm singing and bling-blinging while the girls are drinking. Long necks down, and I wouldn't trade old Leroy or my Chevrolet for your Escalade or your Freak Parade. I'm the only John Wayne left in this town. And I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Thoroughbred, that's what she said in the back of my truck bed as I was getting buzzed on suds out on some backcountry road. We were flying high, fine as wine, having ourselves a big and rich time, and I was going just about as far as she'd let me go. But her evaluation of my cowboy reputation had me begging for salvation all night long. So I took her out gigging frogs, introduced her to my old bird dog, and sang her every Willie Nelson song I can think of, and we made love. And I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, cowboy.
Muskie 101.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
A majority of 65-year-old Americans will one day need long-term health care. But will they be able to afford it? Don't wait until it's too late. Learn how to better prepare for your healthcare costs in retirement.
On the medical front, people are pretty well insured. Almost everyone has Medicare. Those costs can be higher than expected, but it's not likely to break the bank. On the long-term care front, people have a lot of misconceptions.
Then, a scientist says ancient fire management practices can save our modern forests from devastating destruction.
We do need to add some nuance that not all fires are bad and destructive and catastrophic, that fire can be a very useful tool in a forest ecosystem and actually very beneficial for the forest.
Stay with us. InfoTrack begins right after this.
At Skechers, we put the S in comfort. Now, I know you're probably spelling comfort in your head and asking yourself, is that possible? Am I just a really bad speller? Look, I don't know your spelling aptitude, but Skechers most definitely put the S in comfort, because Skechers is the comfort technology company and has developed fits and features that change everything you know about comfort, like hands-free Skechers slip-ins, the ultimate in comfort and convenience. It's footwear you just step into and they're on, with no bending down. Find Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Hey, Green Goblin here. So you've got a clogged drain in your bathroom. Water in the sink's overstaying its welcome. You're spitting today's toothpaste on top of yesterday's toothpaste. You hope that it go away. Yeah, clogs don't just go away. I make them go away. I'm Green Goblin, the only clog dissolver you need. I'm bleach-free, safe for your pipes, and I work. Guaranteed or your money back. Because I never met a clog that was going to unclog itself. Green Goblin. Let the gobbler get it.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
Over 80% of 65-year-olds will one day need long-term health care, but are they financially prepared for it? Most severely underestimate these costs. Here with the story, InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Gal Wetstein is a senior research economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, and he's here to discuss their recent report that examined how well older adults understand healthcare risks and whether advisors are actually helpful. Gal, set the stage a bit on this. What are the biggest misconceptions that older adults have about healthcare costs in retirement?
I think the biggest misconceptions are regarding the overall size. People don't have a good sense of how much they're going to have to spend on healthcare in retirement and whether they're going to need it. A general theme of what we've found is that healthcare, which we divide into medical spending, which is things like doctors, drugs, hospital visits, and long-term care, which is more nursing, helping with getting out of bed, helping with walking around, things like that. On the medical front, people are pretty well insured. And so even if they don't quite understand how much they're going to spend, almost everyone has Medicare. Almost everyone who has Medicare has some form of supplemental coverage above and beyond traditional Medicare. And so those costs can be higher than expected, but it's not likely to break the bank. On the long-term care front, people have a lot of misconceptions, and those costs are not very well insured. And that can lead to a lot of unpleasant surprises.
What percentage of older adults end up needing long-term care, and is there an average age that occurs?
We found in our research that for a 65-year-old today, the vast majority will need some amount of long-term care. Here we're talking about something like over 80% will need some amount of long-term care. Now, a lot of that is going to be low-intensity, assistance with what we call instrumental activities of daily living. These are things like cooking, managing your budget, shopping, things like that. So some people will just need that, and they'll just need that for a short period of time. But then a good chunk of people will unfortunately need high-intensity care for extended periods of time. We're talking about almost 1 in 5 will need what we call high-intensity care, which is assistance with at least 2 of the list of activities of daily living, which is walking, getting out of bed, using the bathroom, showering, getting dressed, things like that. Basic activities. So more than 2 of those, and we'll need that help for more than 3 years.
What are the main reasons that people don't purchase long-term care insurance?
Part of it is the misconceptions. Most people don't understand that they will very likely need this kind of care. Of the ones who do appreciate the care that they're going to need, there's a lot of people who think that health insurance will cover it, so that their Medicare will cover it, or that their Medicare Advantage or Medigap or the retiree plan from a past employer. People think that those kinds of insurance cover these kinds of non-medical care. This is kind of more personal care. But that's simply not true, not generally. So Medicare will cover, for example, some period of time in what's called a skilled nursing facility. If you've, say, had an operation and you need, say, a month of rehabilitation that also involves medical care, Medicare will cover some of that. But if you need something that isn't directly tied to an acute medical event, if you need it for a long period of time, Medicare and other health insurance doesn't cover it, and so people don't understand that. The other thing is that people just don't think about it, I think. It's very easy to put off decisions about buying insurance. You asked about the average age. Typically, people need this kind of care when they reach their 80s. Mid-80s is a typical time, and that seems like a long way off for people at the ages when they might buy this kind of insurance, which is usually 50s and 60s. After age 75, most insurers won't sell you long-term care, even if you want it.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Gaul Wettstein, Senior Research Economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, and we're discussing a recent report from his organization that examined how well older adults understand healthcare risks and whether financial advisors are actually helpful. Gaul, the report suggests that financial advisors are aware of healthcare risks and costs, yet their clients remain largely uninformed. Why is that disconnect happening?
That's a really good question. I don't think we have a really clear answer. One hypothesis we have is that the people who have financial advisors are relying on them to keep track of all of this information, so they don't feel that they need it or that they need to do it themselves because they're paying someone to do it for them. That's one hypothesis. Yeah, I mean, we really do generally find that not only do the people with advisors have no better perception of these things, we often find that they have a worse perception.
So it's safe to say the retirees with financial advisors don't really make any better preparations?
That's not clear, because it could actually be that the advisors are doing what they presumably should be doing, which is offering advice. So you might not know all the details, but your advisor will tell you you should buy long-term care insurance, or they'll tell you you should talk to your kids about it, make other arrangements. I haven't mentioned it, but most long-term care is actually not paid care. It's informal care, most often from a spouse or an adult child. Insurance generally doesn't cover that. You generally don't have to pay for that, but that doesn't mean it's something that there's no cost to. It's just not a financial cost or not an immediate financial cost. But you might want to discuss these things with your kids, with your spouse, have plans in place for if and when needs arise.
Are there any other common mistakes that retirees make when planning for medical and long-term care expenses?
Past studies that we've done and others have done show that part of the reason why people misperceive their costs in retirement is that they underestimate how long retirement might be. So people tend to underestimate how long they're likely to live. And that ties into not really expecting the right amount of long-term care. It also, in general, leads people to underestimate how much they'll need to spend on medical care and on anything, on housing, on food, on everything. So one thing people might want to do when planning for retirement is just look at the life expectancy tables and see. They might be usually pleasantly surprised by how long they're likely to live we found that people in their 60s and early 70s, when they're making these decisions, they tend to underestimate how long they're going to live.
Just to wrap things up, if there were one key takeaway from this study that consumers should act on right now, immediately, what would it be?
Begin thinking about how you would pay for these long-term care needs. I didn't mention, these are extremely expensive services. 1 year in a nursing home can easily cost $100,000 or more. And so these are things that people should plan for. The plan will depend on your situation. Some people should expect to rely on Medicaid, which is the biggest financer of formal care in the country. But some people don't know that that requires them to essentially give up all of their assets. So whatever your situation, if you want to leave money to your kids, if you have a spouse that lives in the community, you might want to consider other options, and you should look into it as soon as possible.
Interesting topic. Gal Wetstein, Senior Research Economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Thank you very much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, wildfire management to tame the flames. That story as InfoTrack continues.
Stick around. There's more InfoTrack straight ahead.
Progressive knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like frames. Because you found a classic 70s concert poster. But when you went to get it framed, you realized the frame will cost about four times the amount of the poster. Which is actually absurd, because no one will be looking at the frame, and if they are, then you severely overestimated how cool this poster is. But then you remember, by switching your home and auto to Progressive, you could save hundreds and put it towards a classic 70s concert poster in an absurdly overpriced frame. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
We're heading into the heart of North America's forests to uncover surprising research about wildfires and what history can teach us about them. Joining us is Chris Gitterman, a research scientist at the Cooperative Institute for Research in Environmental Sciences at the University of Colorado Boulder. Chris, the idea that fewer wildfires today could lead to more severe fires later seems counterintuitive. Can you explain how that works?
Basically, in the past, we had a lot of low severity fires burning across the surface of forests, reducing fuel loads. Around the turn of the 20th century, due to a number of factors, those fires went away, and now we actively put them out, in many cases, not all the time. And without those fires burning, we have no way to reduce the fuels in sort of a natural cycle or kind of a historical fire cycle, and so we get a buildup of fuels.
Your study analyzed nearly 2,000 tree ring records. How do the records help scientists understand the history of wildfire patterns?
Well, the tree rings record the fires that burn throughout their lifetime. They, again, are low severity fires, so they scar the trees but don't kill them. And the scars of those fires preserve within the trees. And so we can take a section of a stump or a log or a live tree, cross-date the tree rings, and get an exact date for the timing of that fire at that tree. And since we know where the tree grew, we can estimate the size, the extent of fires, and the frequency of fires in those places.
I see. Now, despite recent record-breaking fire years, modern fires are less frequent than in the past. Why is this? What factors contributed to this decline?
Mainly our suppression of fires, but even before that, we had land use changes, a massive reduction in indigenous populations throughout the continent. We had a lot of grazing of livestock that are non-native to the continent that reduced the fuels that fires had been burning on. So, you know, sheep and cattle eat grass. That's what the fires had been consuming. And then we had a lot of other land use changes, logging, and then active fire suppression starting after 1910, putting out fires that would otherwise reduce the spread and frequency of fires.
Now, you mentioned indigenous burning. What kind of practices did they do? They didn't obviously have modern equipment. How did they manage to keep those from destroying everything?
Well, indigenous peoples used fire for myriad purposes. They also reduced fuels in a number of different ways, you know, collection of firewood, breaking up the continuity of fuels through gardening kind of practices within forests. There's too many to list in the time we have, but they really could wisely manage fires by being in tune with the natural conditions in the forest. In some areas, a lot of lightning ignitions occurred that would help them out in terms of managing fires and kind of doing that work for them.
Your study mentions that historical fires coincided with drought episodes, but were still less severe. Why would you say droughts didn't lead to more destructive fires back then?
Well, I won't say that there were no destructive fires back then, but they happened probably at a lower extent than now because of that lack of fuel in the historical forest that we see. We've had fires burning in recent years under very extreme conditions, but in areas where there have been multiple fires over the last few decades, and they tend to not burn as severely because the fuel loads are lower.
In your view, what role should prescribed burning and mechanical fuel treatments play in modern wildfire management?
Well, those practices are important for reducing fuels, again, to reduce the risk of severe fire right now. We can eliminate ignitions on the landscapes, like all ignitions. We're going to get lightning, we're going to get human ignitions, but we can reduce fuels and make the probability of severe fire lower for the fires that burn today.
Our guest is Chris Gitterman, a research scientist at the Cooperative Institute for Research in Environmental Sciences at the University of Colorado Boulder. And Chris is a member of NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information Paleoclimate Team. Climate change is apparently a factor increasing wildfire risks. How do your findings in this study point to future fire management strategies?
Well, we didn't study climate change specifically in this study. We just looked at the extent and frequency of historical fires compared to the extent and frequency of modern fires since the 1980s. But there's a lot of really good research out there that is able to attribute anthropogenic climate change to a large increase in area burned today and also in the severity of fires today, mainly through increasing the aridity of forest ecosystems and drying out fuels. So when you have drier fuels, you tend to get hotter fire, just like you would in your own fireplace. And the same is true for forests.
With some of these forests, have they replaced the native growths, the native trees, with shrublands to reduce the fires?
I wouldn't say that was done intentionally, but certainly we see the effect of high severity fires today leading to an increase in the amount of shrubland in areas that were formerly conifer-dominated forests.
What would you like to see policymakers use insights from your study to perhaps develop more effective wildfire mitigation policies?
Well, I think it's important just to realize the changes that have occurred on the landscape from historical conditions to now and the drivers of those changes. And so if we can do anything to reduce the probability of high severity fires, we can't eliminate fire, but we can choose how our fires burn in the future. And so if we can practice those fuel reduction treatments and things like that, that help forests manage fires better and help fire managers manage fires better, I think that would be a benefit.
Earlier, we were talking about tree rings. How far back do those go? Are we talking about centuries of history?